Let's now turn to Pope Benedict XVI. How often do you actually, in a week, let's say, get to speak to the Holy Father and perhaps discuss the media implications of whatever work he has that week?
I don't have a very frequent personal meeting with the Pope. Normally, my daily interlocutors are the responsible of the Secretary of State, Cardinal Bertone, or the substitute, Monsignor Filoni. Sometimes also the Secretary of the Pope, Monsignor Genswein. The Pope himself, I meet him on occasion of the international trips many times, and also every time that he has an audience with a very important person, so like a prime minister or a head of state. And then I ask him about the content of the talks he has had, to prepare also the communique after the meeting, and to relate of these contents with the Secretary of State, to prepare together the communiques. In this sense, I have regular contacts with the Pope, but not daily. And my systematical and the daily connection is with the top officials of the Secretary of State.
Let's talk about some of those visits. We've just had the Holy Land. We had Angola and Cameroon as well. Now, does it ever frustrate you that the press, I mean, certainly in England, I'm sure elsewhere, pick up on things that perhaps it's not the intention of the Holy Father to talk about those things, certainly not in isolation, and that overshadows some of these trips? Does that frustrate you?
Oh, naturally, I think that is an opportunity that was lost by international press, because the problems of Africa and the way in which the Pope has addressed them were very important issues. And I found that it was not a demonstration of profound understanding not to see the entire answer of the Pope to the question, but only to fix on a single word, losing the sense of the entire answer. But in any case, the African people and the African press has understood very well, and they were very happy with the trip of the Pope. And I think the Pope was in Africa for the Africans more than for the European press. And in this sense, I am not so much frustrated. I think, yes, everyone has what he is looking for. If you are looking for a real understanding of what the Pope is saying and doing, you have to listen much more and not to try to say what you have already in mind before listening what the other has said.
And this will be my last word on misunderstandings and negatives, but with the pilgrimage to the Holy Land, we get the focus on Yad Vashem and whether the Pope should be more explicit in discussing the Nazis and the involvement with the Holocaust. But I thought he was quite strong on that personally, and I thought it was a very humble and sincere speech. Again, are these frustrations, or should we expect the press to take it that way, depending on which side you're looking at?
Yes, I think that we were a little surprised about this reaction, also because the Pope had said very strongly his attitudes against antisemitism, and also he had quoted the number of the 6 million of Jews 2 hours before or 3 hours before, and then we supposed that he did not need to repeat every time the same things. But in any case, everyone can say his impression and criticism if he has a reason to do it. And we have to explain why the Pope has chosen a so central theme like the names and the memory, because and this was an act of very profound respect for Yad Vashem, because it was the center of the title of the institution, Yad Vashem. And then, in the intention of the Pope, this discourse was a profound meditation about the significance of this memorial, and I think was very positive attitude. If someone does not understand it, well, we can answer and try to explain, and if he has a good will, he will also understand. There we go on. It is not necessary that everyone understand immediately all what the other is saying. And I think in this sense it was also interesting that in the last discourse of the Pope at the airport leaving from Tel Aviv, he has taken again some aspects of the visit in Yad Vashem, trying to demonstrate his personal attitude and participation. This I think this is a good example of a dialogue. You do your best in the first speech. Someone is not happy, then you react still and try to integrate, demonstrate that your attitude was positive. We have to go on in a dialogue and try to explain. Who has ears to hear will hear.
I completely agree, and certainly when I was reading through all the homilies, if you read all of them and you look at what the Pope's saying throughout, we hear some very profound things, such as walls may be up, but they can be taken down, and there's a need for both sides to show a degree of willingness to compromise, talking about a two-state solution, and that the Catholic Church, of course, is interested in putting resources behind bringing about peace. So the Pope came out with a great many affirming and supportive statements about our Abrahamic brothers and sisters, didn't he?
Yes, I agree totally. I think that the series of the speeches of the Pope during this pilgrimage was a high quality contribution for the peace and understanding in the region, and a very coherent message. He spoke always about peace under different aspects and with a very balanced attitude, though that Israelis and Palestinians were not offended, I think. They had to understand the Pope is friend of both peoples. And in this sense, I think the Pope has given personal examples, not only said words about peace, but also given personal examples of attitude that is needed to build peace, to build bridges of understanding. I think that really this pilgrimage was a very important contribution and a practically a standard example of what the service for the peace by the Pope is.
And in this very televisual age, sometimes we have the words are set out there and we can read them. But if in this televisual age you look at the Pope at Ground Zero in New York, for instance, you look at him going down the line, greeting people at Yad Vashem. Contrary to what some people thought Cardinal Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, would be like, he comes across as a very humble man, a very gentle man, and a very pastoral man. Is that the way it is?
Absolutely. I think that this is the specific characteristic of his character, of his personality, and I am very happy when television can show this, because there are not so big or evident gestures, but is more the personal attitude, his attitude of listening to the order, or the attention to the order, his gentle and humble way to meet people. I think that the television has to show this, to try to show this, what is the specific charism of this Pope. And I was very impressed also during the visit in the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, because the images showed how the Pope was listening to the Imam, what the Imam was saying him. I think that this was the best answer to the criticism, to the Regensburg speech, to demonstrate how the Pope is respectful, full of respect for the people that speak to him, even the Muslim in their mosque.
And finally, Father Lombardi, how about the future of communications, the future with regard to the Vatican Press Office, radio, TV, how you personally would like to take it forward? You said earlier about learning lessons. I'm sure there are more to learn, but look to the future for us now.
Yes, as you know, in a large part, we don't know what the future will be. Maybe that 15 years ago, internet did not exist. What will be in 15 years, the communication and the most important instrument for the communication? Maybe that we will have surprises and we have to react. In this sense, I say the future will be good if we are on the way every day and we learn from the experience and we try to react. But in any case, I think that in the Vatican we can work much in the good interconnection, in the good synthesis of the and utilization of the resources that are already there. We have to learn for a simple language for the first communication of the contents, and we have to learn how to react in real time to the shock waves, to the negative waves of information, of misunderstanding there are, and try to send in a very, very rapid way the positive aspects of our positions and of the message of the Church, to develop the capacity of sending rapidly through the net the positive message of peace for which the Church works in the world, and how the Church is engaged for the well-being of the humanity of today and of tomorrow.
And in the last 3 years, there's always speculation about the Pope visiting the United Kingdom, coming to England and Wales. Obviously, when Gordon Brown visits the Vatican, that questions are asked naturally. Can you see a visit happening in the future?
In my capacity of director of the Holy See Office, I have always to see what is true and what is sure. And I have to say that the agenda of the international trip of the Pope for the next year is not there. In this sense, I have not to do to do previsions or previews about the next year. We have the next international trip is in Czechoslovakia, as you know, at the end of September. And then there are a series of proposals, but no decision for the next year.